Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to another busy Thursday edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. It's great to have you with us. And, of course, our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management and Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank, making all the Sports Look fun happen every week here at Thursday night. And, oh, Gus, how good is it? It's high school state tournament week in the state of Kansas. If there's a more fun thing, you know, for high school sports, I don't know what it is. All year long, I wait 51 weeks for this one.
I'm telling you, this is the fun week, right? Like, last week was always interesting when we're starting to talk about sub-states and the teams that are going to make it in. But this is it. I mean, we have finally made it to the big show, and there's been some fun already. We've seen some ones go home, and it's just... Yeah, I love bracket play.
What I love are the backstories, okay? Because you go, and we're not even going to talk much about it, but like in 5A, you've got two teams who've been in the state championship for the last 3 years meet in round one. What an incredible round one game that was. You've got coaches who have been, you know, state champions in high school, have gone on to college, retired from college, come back to high school, continue to be successful with hundreds and hundreds of wins. You've got players who have already signed to play at KU and K-State and colleges all around who are getting together for kind of that last high school hurrah. I mean, it is so fun when you see the big picture. And then, of course, we're going to be focusing in here because our K Radio sports schedule starts, right after Sports Look, here as soon as we're done. We're going to be going out and... I'm expecting the aroma of pepperoni as we go to Salina, Kansas to the Tony Center. Used to be the old Bicentennial Center downtown, and it's going to be Class 4A, and they've had 4A out there since I started doing this back in the 70s, my very first year out. And so we go back to 4A where the Phoenix tonight are playing an old nemesis of yours with Rock Creek this evening at 6 o'clock here on Care Radio, first round of the 4A tournament. Then, of course, right after that, we're going to throw the baton to our buddies out in the Wild Wild West, because at the Wireless Arena in Dodge City, Kansas, it is going to be the, 8 o'clock game?
Do you fear for them on Front Street, right?
I fear for Front Street.
Okay.
I'm really concerned about the people of Front Street. I mean, they have no idea what they're getting into. You got Jake and Boz going out there to do this.
I was going
to
say, just as long as they don't have a can of red paint, we're all okay, right?
All
I mean, they're going to be on the water tower putting the demon back.
Get off the water tower, guys. And they're going to be out there with the Jefferson County North Chargers as JCN makes a run at a state championship in... We're going to be talking about them here in just a minute, but where do you want to start? We need to hit some bracket highlights.
Let's just jump over things that happened yesterday. Just real quick, we're going to glaze over the girls 6A. The one seed Shawnee Mission held off Manhattan. So you're going to have a 1-5 as Shawnee Mission South will get Blue Valley North. And then in the bottom half of the bracket, you had a 7-2. It was Rural over Wichita Heights. And so
those are the two teams I was talking about who have been in the state championship, those two for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and so then it will be Washburn Rural against Derby. So you're going to have a 7-3 on the bottom half of that bracket. Derby hangs on to beat Shawnee Mission Northwest 48-47 last night. So that was the 8 o'clock game in Class 6A on the girls' side. Class 5A on the boys' side. Real quick, if you were ranking all of the state sites, you've been to a lot of them. White Auditorium has to be right up there, correct?
Here's the thing about it. It is an auditorium that was built for basketball, okay? Here at Tony's tonight, it is a multi-purpose facility. The first time I was there, they were setting up a stage on the south side of the thing, and I asked a maintenance guy, I said, what in the world is all the scaffolding and stuff coming up? He says, as soon as you guys are out of here tonight, Dolly Parton comes tomorrow.
See?
So, I mean, it's built to do everything. Not in White Auditorium. This thing is a basketball spot, and it's designed for that, and it's so good.
Yeah. Well, at White Auditorium yesterday afternoon in Class 5A, so May South, the one seed, got by Great Bend. It was Piper, the four seed, over Shawnee Heights. No surprise here. Highland Park had zero trouble with Andover yesterday, winning 57-32, so the number two seed Highland Park is on, and they're going to get Capen who held off DeSoto 60-53. And
there's your state championship game, right?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Highland Park. You've seen them all season. I know May South might be 22-0, but Highland Park just seems like a team right now that's just destined for it, right?
And what's that Capen record? It's like something phenomenal. Too.
Yeah, I mean, they're now 20-3 this season, so, you know, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you talk about the four teams left in Class 5A on the guys' side. May's at 23-0. You've got Highland Park at 22-1. You've got Capen and Piper both at 20-3. So four teams left, 20 wins apiece on all of those teams. So
yeah, and the team that beat Highland Park is in the running for the 6A crown right now, too.
So Class 4A at the Tonys yesterday. It was the one seed Wellington over Andale. You had the four McPherson over Ottawa. Fort Scott knocks off Clearwater and Miege over Labette County. So, held true. We didn't really even need to play the first round yesterday. 1-2, 3-4. Move on in Class 4A on the girls' side yesterday. Class 3A from the sports arena. You talk about people who know how to do a tournament, and that's Class 4 or Class 3A at the sports arena.
Right, but at 3A seat, and you got to understand, people are saying, wait a minute, where are you talking boys, girls? Well, of course, they alternate.
Yep.
Okay, every other year, one will get the, you know, the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and then the other will get the Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, and if you're a coach, what do you prefer? Do you like to play 3 days in a row? Do you like to have a day off?
It depends on how close I am to home.
Yeah.
If I've got to travel to Dodge City, I want to play 3 days back to back to back, okay? But if I'm, you know, if I am, you know, living in Wichita, if I'm Wichita Northwest, I'm playing Coke Arena, I'm like, give me a day off, okay? So I think that for me, the geography plays a big part in this. Kansas is a big state.
It is, and I always laugh. Like, we go to St. Louis, you know, for basketball, or we go to Culver Stockton for basketball. We travel all the way across the state of Missouri, right?
Yeah.
You do it in like 4 hours, right? If we do that in Kansas, you're like, you know, just a little over halfway, you know? And so, but yeah, I don't know. I think with the state tournament, I want to play every day consecutively because again, some of these teams, you just get hot. You want to keep rolling through this thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I tend to err on, let's just lace them up and go.
And if you've got, but you got an off day, here's what you got to do as a coach. You're feeding them longer. You're housing them longer. You got to find something to do on that off day.
You're trying to keep their attention.
You're not just going to sit in that gym and watch the next four games. You're just not going to do that.
That's what the assistant coach is for, right?
Yeah. You got the assistant coaches to do the laundry to get ready for the next day. True. Fold those uniforms. Make sure everybody's sneakers got good laces in them. You know, make sure that the book is filled out and correct and ready to go. But yeah, you got to entertain them. You got to go to a museum. You take them to a movie. You know, some of them walk around a mall. Yeah, you're not going to walk around a mall in a lot of these little these places. I don't know what you do, but you got to do something on it. You're not going to set them in that hotel room and watch Netflix all day. That's no good.
Try to climb El Capitan. Yeah, no, what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah. And that's what happens if you're not watching them careful.
Exactly. Hey, jumping down, we talked about at the sports arena on the guys' side yesterday. It was the one seed Beloit holding off Hayden. Yeah, Hayden's going to finish the season 8-16, but again, making themselves a state tournament run there. Wellsville, the four seed, is moving on, so you've got a 1-4 on the top side, but on the bottom side, didn't hold true. The seven seed, southeast of Saline, with a 3-point win over the number 2 seed, Cardinals of Cheney. And then in the bottom, it will be Goodland, moving to 21-3 as they knocked off Riverton.
If you're Goodland fan, you got to remember to adjust for the time.
You're out there, right?
You're in the mountain time zone.
In Class 2A, on the ladies' side, getting a little closer to home, as it was Blue Rapids knocking off Wichita County yesterday, 52-35. So you'll have an 8 seed versus a 5 seed, as Wathena's Riverside knocks off Hoxie, 43-38. The bottom side of the bracket didn't hold any better, right? I mean, Colgan, the 2 seed, is the highest seed left. They will move on to play Independent, who beat Hillsboro 39-36. So Independent at 20-3, Colgan at 24-0, Riverside at 22-2, and then you've got the outlier of Valley Heights, who's having a great season at 19-5.
This is the talk of the state right now. Okay, if you go to the blogs, if you talk to the guys who are going to these arenas, the upset of the tournament is not just because it was an 8-1, but it was an undefeated one who had just steamrolled the season. But this is what happens when you go to the state tournament. This is why a coach tells his kids, "You can win this because everybody can win this."
Yeah, you know, and when you get out to Western Kansas too, you got to factor in travel, and so you're also probably playing some smaller teams just because you're kind of looking for some of those teams to play. So again, you see some of these Western Kansas teams that are 23-0, and I know it's terrible to say, but I start to look at, have they played anybody? So anyway, one of those things. Jumping back up to Tony's, okay? Because Atchison is going to play here in just a little bit, a 6 o'clock start against the number 7 seed, Rock Creek. The 1 seed is McPherson in Fort Scott. You're going to have Circle and Baldwin, Hugoton and Abilene. So all of these teams are teams that I feel like you hear year in and year out at the state tournament, right?
Sure. Yeah, they're typically out there. And, you know, for Atchison, you know what, I think Atchison got a really good set because at 20-2, they're not the only 22. There are 3 20-2 teams in this bracket, and Atchison ends up with the 2 seed out of that. And that puts them, I just like the way it unfolds and lays out in front of them.
Yeah, and so Atchison, you remember back to week 1 of the season?
I was there.
Atchison on December the 1st. Seems like a long time ago, okay?
Went to Rossville?
They went to Rossville and knocked off the Dogs 73-53, okay? Now, I know you can't compare scores, but for Rock Creek, they are 18-4. One of those losses came just a couple weeks ago, February 20th. They lost to Rossville in Flush, okay? So it was a home game. They lost to Rossville 57-50. No, you can't compare scores. But, I mean, that's kind of the type of ball we've been seeing from this, you know, Rock Creek team. I know they'll jump into the 70s, I think, if you want to run with them. But their number seems to be kind of around that 50-55 is where they really feel comfortable with their games. And not many of their games have been blowouts this season. They beat Wabunsee 72-31. But most of their games are like 69-60, 57-48, 51-47. I mean,
Rock Creek lost to?
This is a team who knows how to play these close games. Ready? Their losses came to December 5th. They lost at home to Abilene, who's also in this state tournament. They lost to Abilene pretty handily, 70-52. Their other loss came at home to Maryville, 55-39. They lost to Silver Lake on February 16th, 52-46. That was a home game as well. And they lost at home to Rossville, 57-50. So, their 4 losses, all been at home. So, I mean, if you're...
So they play well on the road.
Yeah, if you're Rock Creek, you're saying, okay, guys, we play well on the road. Yeah. As far as neutral site games, they beat Sabetha on a neutral site game 57-48. And that was just about it on the season. So haven't played many neutral site games. But again, there are 4 losses. One of those teams is in the state tournament. One of those teams Atchison can kind of compare with as far as they know what Rossville runs, so you can kind of see how they attacked Rossville. But in the last month, from February 16th on, 2 of their losses came, right? February 16th and February 20th, they lost their sub-state title game to get here to the state tournament. They knocked off Ottawa in overtime, 48-44. So, I mean.
And, of course, we watched Atchison, had it on KIR out here on KIR Radio, and Ottawa came up here, and Atchison, you know, played really well against Ottawa.
Yep. So, anyway, that's just kind of a peek behind the curtain and see, you know, what kind of team to expect from this Rock Creek Ball Club here tonight. Okay, talk real quick because we don't have a whole lot of time, but we've got just a moment.
Yeah, want to talk about the JCN matchup out in Dodge and in their bracket tonight, real quick.
Yep. So let's go back to Class 2A and we'll jump to the guy's side as the thing's running away from me.
Afternoon games already have had Linden and Conway Springs and Salina Sacred Heart and Erie.
Talk to me about, was it the last time the JCM boys were there? If not, it wasn't that long ago. Remember when JCM went to Bramlage and played an overtime game with the Black Bears of Sterling?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they like that game in round two?
Yes, because you got
Sterling and Plainville.
Their game just now finishing up. We'll get you the score of that here as soon as it's done.
So, yeah, I mean, the bottom half of the bracket sees the number two seed Sterling versus Plainville and, what, Plainville? Aren't they the Cardinals as well? And then Mound Ridge and JCN are the 3-6 matchup.
So, yeah, we got a full packed house. And so, how good is Mound Ridge? 20-3? They're, pretty good basketball team.
You know, if everything were just in a perfect world, you would see a 6-8 in the title game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just...
that takes us right back to where we've talked. How many times, how many weeks do we talk about it? Maybe easier to count how many weeks we don't talk about it. Schools that have good teams. You mentioned it earlier. Are these all familiar teams in the tournament? Yeah. Schools that have good athletes and schools that have, good athletic programs. Continue. It just kind of transcends whatever sport it's in. You're going to see football, basketball, softball, and baseball. The track teams are good. I mean, the swimming teams are good. If they've got soccer, those teams are good. I mean, they put an emphasis on that. The kids want to play those sports. And
what? Linden won a 8-man title already this year,
yes.
Right? You know, in their 2A in basketball. Conway Springs won the 2A football championship.
Uh-huh.
JCN, the runner-up. Plainville has always been good. Sterling is typically good, especially in basketball. And year after year, we always hear about Salina Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, again, all these teams are teams that should be at least familiar to the ear.
Mm-hmm. And so there you have it. It is, it's going to be a big night of basketball here at K-Radio. Again, right after Sports Look, it'll be Atchison High game. And then right after that, we're going to have the JCN game coming to you from First Line and then Dodge City, where as K-Radio spans the globe with sports coverage. Hey, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got lots of other stuff to talk about. We're rolling along on a Thursday here on K-Radio. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Gus, just a day ago, we were up in Des Moines, Iowa at the Sison Arena as Benedict and Lady Ravens in the championship game of the Heart of America Athletic Conference Women postseason tournament, playing a good Grandview team. And tell you what, Lady Ravens play so hard, and they match up with Grandview so well. This was a nip-and-tuck game, but came down to the final shot, and the clock ran out, and the Lady Ravens came up one score short.
Yeah, BC had a chance to win that thing right there at the end, and I'm telling you, if you're Grandview, you're sitting there and you breathe that sigh of relief that you didn't end up in overtime as Benedictine came up 65-62. They came up just a little short. But a 4-2, it was a fun tournament for the Lady Ravens. You go back to the first game of the tournament, which was, a week ago yesterday, which seems like so long ago. Benedictine knocked off Mount Mercy in the first game at home, 75-59. Then Saturday, they went on the road to Dubuque up there in the Kiel Center and never trailed, right? Benedictine jumped out early, never trailed in that ball game. And you know what happens when you don't trail? You don't lose, okay? They came away with a huge win over Clark, the one seed, a 64-61 victory in that ball game. And they just came out. They did everything they wanted to do. Clark just couldn't get a lead. They fought back, kept it close, but I'm telling you, the Lady Ravens just have been strong throughout this whole postseason. Came up a little short in Des Moines the other night, but again, right now they find themselves sitting in a, I don't know, I'm going to call it kind of an uncomfortable place at 20-11. I'm not saying that they don't get in, but Man, winning that game would have just, you know, you're guaranteed to be in. Now it's one of those things where you don't control your own destiny. You sit back and you say, hey, here's my resume. Let's see what happens. I think they're in, but I also, you know, am always going to think they're in.
Yeah, and, you know? Sure. And here's the thing. And then I shall pull. What do you got? You got, what did we count the other day?
44 teams.
44 teams get some kind of points, you know, right, or getting votes and getting, you know, in the national poll. So in the top 25, there are 44 teams. Benedictine is not among those. So in a field of 64, quick math tells you there are 20 unvoted for, unranked teams, 20 to fill in the rest of that bracket. And Benedictine hoping to be one of them. Now, of course, the resume, they hit the magic 20, okay? And they've got, really, you're going to call it three really big wins on the season. Certainly, the two huge wins are the two Clark wins. And then they did get that win over Grandview up in, you know, up in Des Moines the first time those two teams met on a last-second shot. So Benedictine has wins, you know, three wins over highly ranked teams that are going to go into the postseason.
Yep. And I think the other thing that helped you is that Mid-America got blown out by Grandview in the semifinal.
Probably.
I mean, and the reason I say that is because Grandview finished just a little higher than you. They were three in the conference. I know you guys were tied as far as conference records. They held the head-to-head by winning both of those games against Benedictine. But again, yeah, you talk about it. You've got three big wins on your resume, and so there's a good chance that you find yourself into the national tournament. And so I would say, by halftime of the Atchison game tonight, we should know, because about 7 o'clock or so, they're going to come out with the, you know, the release and let us know who's in, who's out. And for Benedictine, again, you're just turned in your best resume and you hope for the best right now, but 64 teams, you got to feel pretty confident.
Yeah. And you ended the season strong, you know, a strong postseason tournament run, you know, and the next thing is, I mean, if you want to be very optimistic, you say, okay, the, you know, you like to think they're going to be in. And the second question, of course, is, well, where will they play? What regional? And there are regionals that are very close. But if you remember the last time Benedictine was in a postseason, they didn't get a close regional. They ended up being shipped to Florida. And that was
the good
that
news,
was a tough call. The good news call.
Is there's not a 4-1 right now. But there's some ugly trips. So let's take a look at
it. Yeah. There's Marion, Indiana. So there's Campbellsville, Kentucky.
So there's Campbellsville, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
Helena, Montana hosted by Carroll.
Right.
Dubuque being hosted by Clark. Seward, Nebraska being hosted by Concordia.
That's a nice gym.
Williamsburg, Kentucky being hosted by Cumberland's, Kentucky. Madison, South Dakota, which is Dakota State. Sioux City, Iowa, and the host there is going to be Dort this year. And that's probably because Morningside was just like a 500 type team. Indiana Wesleyan is going to host one in Marion, Indiana. John Brown in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Then you're going to have the KCAC holding one in Salina and Wichita. So you could be back to the Tonys in a week.
I think, don't they hold that at the KW campus?
Do they? Okay.
I don't know. I think maybe. I don't know.
Lewis and Clark State is going to host one at Lewiston, Idaho. Loyola, Louisiana says come down to New Orleans.
I would go to New Orleans.
Marion, Indiana says Indianapolis is nice this time of the year. Providence, Montana, a team I am not familiar with, is hosting one in Great Falls, Montana.
So Montana gets two.
Idaho's got one, Montana has two, and here's the kicker, okay? Ashland, Oregon, as Southern Oregon.
Are there that many
one.
Teams in the northwest portion of the continental United States to fill all those? That's my concern. If there's not enough teams from up that way, they're going to bring teams from somewhere to fill them.
But my problem is there's a handful of teams in Arizona, there's a handful of teams in Texas, you know, and there's some teams in Oklahoma. Somebody's getting some bad road trips, right? Because not everybody can go to Louisiana, Siloam Springs, Salina, and Wichita.
Well, we're going to find out what it is, and stay tuned to the Atchison game coming up, because before the game's over, we'll have the announcement of where the Lady Ravens are playing and against whom in this national tournament. Taking a quick break. We'll be back. Sports Look rolling along here on CARE. Welcome back here to Sports Look on a Thursday. Getting ready for Atchison High basketball coming up on CARE Radio. And Gus, the Benedictine men wrap up 23-24 basketball season here the other day. And, you know, BC, you got to love the team, love the way they fought, love the way they never threw in the towel on any of their games yet, just coming up short. And it was a frustrating kind of year sometimes.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a frustrating year, but, you know, we're now to the point where coach can kind of start to look at the roster and see how it's going to change going in, because, again, you lost, what, 4 seniors this year, I believe, and so you're going to have to find guys to fill in for those positions. There's plenty of big basketball going on right now, but talking about some of the guys on the team and some of the postseason awards that they had won, let's just start with Bryson LaRue. He was a all-conference honorable mention at a guard position. Ravens also getting on the honorable mention, Gino Corridori. So, you know, well-deserving for both of those guys. And I think maybe not so much a surprise for me, but Gino Corridori is definitely one of those guys that didn't play a whole lot of games this year, right? Battled injury off and on throughout the season. And so for him to get honorable mention was a really big deal. So, again, nice to see the Ravens get a couple guys on the all-conference team. You start to talk about the player of the year in the conference. Not a shock. He was a freshman of the year, what, like a dozen years ago. Anthony Brown, it was the conference player of the year. Adam Hepker was coach of the year. All right, is Hepker probably the first guy in the conference history to have won? Because I feel like he was player of the year when he was player.
He was.
And coach of the year?
I would say, mate, yeah.
That's an interesting question. I might have to reach out to Tyler on that at some point. Anthony Brown also was player of the year. He was also defensive player of the year, for whatever that's worth. Trayvon Smith, a Central Methodist, was the newcomer of the year. Freshman of the year was Manny Hammonds of William Penn. And then the assistant coach of the year was Matt Diekman. So we're getting ready to find out the teams that are going on to the Heart of America Athletic Conference into the postseason as a little bit of a curveball in the conference tournament. How about Peru State? They got hot at the right time. They won the conference as a 5 seed going through Central Methodist, Mid-America, and Baker. So you talk about Peru State on the road for 3 games and come away with 3 big wins, and they'll be the automatic berth.
3 close wins. They get by Central Methodist by 4. They get by Baker, or rather by against Mid-America. They get by Mid-America by 4. And then they win the championship by 4.
There you go. Over-under was 3.5 on all of those games.
Everyone. I'm sure it was.
So, yeah, Peru State's going to get the automatic bid into the national tournament. Mid-America will be there by virtue of being 25-5.
Baker gets third, right?
Baker's going to get in there at 22-9. And can I tell you, I think Grayson probably gets in at 21-9. So, I mean, a guys' conference that we were like, man, they're going to have to scramble to find 3 teams. And now I think they're going to end up with 4 teams into the national tournament. The close host sites is, Olathe is a host for the guys' side. Wichita is a host. Salina is a host. I'm just trying to pick out some of the close ones. And then Orange City. You know the one I would want to go to if I were any of these teams?
Sure. What?
I want to go to St. Thomas, okay?
Is that the Virgin Islands?
Miami Gardens. Okay. Nothing wrong with Miami Gardens for, you know, end-of-season basketball. So, again, the field will be set tonight, 6 o'clock for that, so we'll know those here pretty soon.
Well, congratulations again to the BC guys on the season, and we'll be back. More sports look here on postseason tournament game day. Game's coming up here in a minute, too. We'll be right back.
I thought we glazed that one well enough.
That's smooth enough. Back with you here on Sports Look. And, well, Gus, we never quit talking about the NFL, but for the Kansas City Chiefs, there's some big things going on. And there are 2 main guys that the Chiefs are trying to hang on to for next year. And that would be, of course, Chris and Legarius. Legarius is now locked up.
Yeah. So Legarius gets the franchise tag.
And does the player hate that, or do they like that? Does it make you happy? Does it make you unhappy?
He's a guy that's going from $700,000 this year to next year being guaranteed $20 million. So I get it that they want the long-term guarantee, but again, it's a lot of money up front. So, I mean, I get the frustration to an extent, but again, you're also locking yourself into a good amount of money. So, I'm going to also tell you, I don't think, and we'll talk more about it next week because we're trying to speed this thing along as we're going to be into high school basketball here shortly, but I also don't believe that L'Jarius Sneed will be on the roster when the Chiefs get to the first game. I think they're going to trade him pretty soon.
They could. They could get a lot for him. I mean, he's a great commodity. If I got a team, I want him on my team.
Right, and if I'm the Chiefs, I've proved time and time again that I can draft these cornerbacks and secondary guys, right? I mean, they've done a really good job of it here recently.
Okay, so there's the deal with L'Jarius. Can they get Chris signed? And I'm thinking, yeah, I think he wants to be here, although you hear this Raider talk flying around.
I do. I think that, you know, you hear a lot of optimism, but I think the thing that scares me is we heard a lot of optimism all offseason, right? Like, oh, the deal's going to get done. And then as training camp got closer, they said, oh, we'll be done by the end of training camp. Well, then his training camp ended and they didn't have a deal done. Oh, it'll definitely be done before the first game. And then he sat out the Detroit game and you're like, maybe it won't get done. So I don't know. I think it's a little frustrating. And can I tell you, they don't get this thing done soon. He hits the open market and the money will fly for Chris Jones.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm not typically a conspiracy theorist, but do you think that maybe there was something behind the curtain where he was like saying, I'm not in any hurry to sign. I don't want to do. Camp, okay. Right. I don't need to play the Lions their first few games. I want to get in there, end of the season, and I want to be healthy and well and strong for a long, long finish, which is what happened.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. And can I tell you the other thing that a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, but if you stay in Kansas City, you win a lot of championships and rings. Can I tell you sometimes winning all those rings for these guys, it's like, cool, I've got my 3 Super Bowl rings. I just want to go get the bag now, right? You know, I mean, like winning is less of a deal, I think, when you have 3 of them, because a lot of the guys are going to retire and not just not win one. They may not have been to the game. And for Chris Jones, he's been there 4 times and won it 3, you know? So
the resume is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Does he get a bust in Canton?
Yes. I just don't see a way around it, right? In this era, he's probably the second most dominating interior defensive lineman, and that's only second to Aaron Donald out there in Los Angeles.
Rosa dominating in the Cactus League. They're playing really, really well. Some of the new additions, and certainly the new pitching has been a benefit for them. But my question for you is the over-under on wins 72.5, which is 13 more than last year, I think. Can they hit that number? I mean, it's still less than half, but it's a huge improvement from last year. Are they that much better? I guess the question is, are they that much better than last year?
Why do you have to lean on my optimism, right? I mean, because of course, I think they go over that. I think the Royals can be more of a 500 type team, but here's the problem that they're going to run into. The first half of the season, let's say the first month of the season, it's rough. I mean, you've got some really good teams. You've got Texas. I mean, who else do they hit? They have some playoff caliber. I think they have the Orioles pretty earlier in the season. So, again, you're going to have a really tough start to this season. And so, again, how many times do we see the Royals derail a whole season and we're not even to May yet?
Yeah.
So, I think that the big deal for the Royals is tread water early and then make your charge during the middle of the summer.
Talk about making a charge. Final games of the regular season in college basketball as we're about ready to get to March Madness for them also. And, wow, Kansas at Houston Saturday doesn't get much bigger than this. If you're going to finish up the season, you finish it up with a matchup that you're going to see next week in Kansas City.
You would hope so, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kansas is a team who kind of yo-yoed here a little bit. They looked really good against Kansas State, but I also kind of chalked that up to Kansas State didn't play well the other night against Kansas. They kind of gave up on that game, and Jerome Tang seems like a much different individual now than he was a year ago, right? Last year, a lot of people loved him. It was a Cinderella story. K-State was playing good. Right now, it's a little bit of the shine is worn off. I don't think that he and, you know, the upper administration are seeing eye to eye, so Kansas took full advantage of that at the field house the other night in what I really liked, the red jerseys. I thought those were pretty sweet the other night. But Kansas is going to go to Houston, and Houston went to Allen Fieldhouse earlier this year and got handled, right? I mean, Kansas led that whole game, shot about 70% from the floor. They're probably not going to do that in Houston on Saturday, but again, a big game. I would say probably more so for Houston than anybody, because for Houston, you're number one in the country. You played really well, but in the back of your mind, you're like, I haven't beat Kansas yet. I have to do that to prove to myself that, you know, we belong here.
And again, talked about K-State. They got a tough finish with Iowa State coming in. Iowa State's, I don't even, whether in Hilton or whether that they are a hard draw.
Yeah, Iowa State's a team who just is playing really good basketball right now. And it's great for college basketball when Iowa State's good, right? Next week, you're going to see a lot of maroon and gold in Kansas City. I mean, we're used to seeing red and gold in Kansas City, but yeah, you're going to see that Iowa State maroon all of next week. Should be a fun one at the Big 12 tournament.
Yep, Big 12 tournament next week. But before that, we've got boatloads of stuff coming up here on K-Radio. Moments away, we're going to have from the Tony's Arena in Salina, Class 4A. Quarterfinal ball game. It'll be Atchison and Rock Creek, 6 o'clock anticipated tip-off for that, live here on K Radio. And right after that, we're going to dash out to our guys, Jake and Boz, there out at the Wireless Arena in beautiful, beautiful Ford County, Kansas, as they're going to have Jefferson County North in first-round play in their state tournament run. All those games coming up on K-Radio and subsequent games, just pay attention here. We're going to keep you up to speed, and we're going to be bringing them all to you. Got to thank our Sportloc sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance Exchange Bank. Hold on tight. Phoenix Hoops coming up next here on K-Radio.